Let us go to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verse 1, it says, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down, and looking in, saw that the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes, or the grave clothes, lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself." You may be seated in the presence of God. I want to talk to you today, and trust me, after 5 wonderful messages, every time I thought I had my message, it changed each time preachers preached, because they preached looked like the whole Bible. But I want to talk about the message in the grave clothes. The message in the grave clothes. Several years ago on TV was a documentary concerning the death of Medgar Evers, a black civil rights worker who was shot to death in his own driveway in Mississippi in 1963. In the early 90s, at the request of his son, the body of Mr. Evers was exhumed. It was the hope of the family that a new autopsy might shed more light into his death. People watched as they opened that casket that had been sealed for 30 years. Inside the casket was a body that was remarkably preserved. The body and the clothes it wore were in excellent condition. You could not watch the program without thinking about a time when another grave was opened. It was a grave that was opened not by the will of man, but a grave opened by the will of God. In that grave, those who looked in saw the grave clothes, but they saw no body. The body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and though I'm low in my tone, this is a good place to shout. The body of the Lord Jesus Christ had risen from the dead and walked out of that tomb just like he said he would. Amen. All that remained in that tomb, the The only evidence that he had ever been there was the presence of his grave clothes. Now, there are many aspects of the resurrection that we could consider, and all of those aspects are important. All of those aspects are blessings, and all of the aspects that we could consider are encouragement to the children of God. But look at the message that is contained in the grave clothes. We heard this week about the blood. We heard about the donkey. We heard about Mary and her sister Martha. We heard about Lazarus. We heard about the man who lay at the pool for 38 years. And there were lessons and messages for all of us. But there's a message here from the grave clothes that was left in the tomb by Jesus. Jesus left his grave clothes behind for a reason. He left them behind so that the grave clothes could preach a message to all of those who saw them early that Sunday morning. In that message we grasp today, let's look into these wonderful verses and experience the message in the grave clothes. Well, one, my brothers and sisters, it is a peaceful message. How do you know? Because verse 5 says, and he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeing the linen clothes or the grave clothes lie. After Jesus died on the cross, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus took the body of Jesus and prepared it for the burial and placed it in Joseph's new tomb, that it was a tomb that belonged to Joseph. John chapter 19, verse 38 says, after they placed his body in the tomb, the Jewish leaders asked Pontius Pilate to seal the tomb and place a detachment of Roman soldiers at the tomb to prevent the disciples from stealing the body of Jesus. Because this man had already said, kill me on this day and I'll rise on the third day. And the Roman soldiers did not want somebody to come and steal the body of Jesus and then walk around town saying he has risen. And so Matthew chapter 27 verse 62, from that point on, it tells us that some strange things began to occur near the garden tomb. Look at verse 62 in Matthew chapter 27. Read with me. It says, now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, sir, we, listen at this. I read this 10 times at least. It says, sir, we remember that deceiver said, look at that. I read that 10 times. At least read it one more time with me. Sir, we remember that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, that after 3 days, I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure unto the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen. Do you kind of see the spirit of mockery going on in this text? Do you kind of feel and sense the spirit of mockery, as though once he's in the grave, that's it? He is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, you have a watch, Go your way and make it as sure as you can. And so they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Matthew 28, chapter 1, Matthew 28, verses 1 through 4, a supernatural event happened, and the stone that was used to seal the tomb was rolled back by the angel of the Lord. This was done not by the disciples. They were off in the upper room hiding in fear lest they too be arrested and crucified. Yeah, they were with Jesus. I mean, Peter says, Lord, I'm with you. Yeah, I'm with you up to the point, but not until. I'm with you up to unto hard times, but when times get hard, I got to go. John chapter 20, verse 19, this was done to allow all of those who came by to see that the body of Jesus was gone. Mary finds the tomb empty. She runs to tell the disciples, and Peter and John race to get to the tomb. Now, surely, as they're running to the tomb, these are the things going through their mind. Surely Mary went to the wrong tomb. Surely there must be some mistake. Surely Jesus did not get up. Surely Jesus is not gone. And when they arrived at the scene, it was the right tomb. But the Bible and the story tells us that the tomb is empty. And all that they could see when they looked in was the grave clothes. They were the grave clothes of the Lord Jesus Christ. The grave clothes were either collapsed in a pile as if the body came right through them. And the way I hear the old preacher saying is Jesus stepped out of those clothes without even touching the clothes when he stepped out of the clothes. Somebody say, how did he do it? Well, with God, all things are possible. Nothing is impossible with God. Either way, it paints quite a picture. Then they see in a place by itself, the Bible says, the napkin. Joseph and Nicodemus had used to wrap Christ's face and to wrap his head. The tomb is a perfect picture of absolute order. After the news of the resurrection became public knowledge, the Jewish leaders concocted a story to conceal the fact that Jesus was alive. Matthew chapter 28, verses 11 through 15. The condition of the tomb proves that their tale to be a lie. If it was the disciples who removed the body of Jesus, as the Jews claim, how did they remove his body without disturbing his clothes? If it was the grave robbers, as others suggested, how did they remove the body, period, with guards around? If it was the Jewish leaders that took his body for fear of what the disciples might, how they might use his corpse for, the Romans for that matter, that they would not have taken the time to remove the body from the clothes. They would have just grabbed him and went on. They would have produced the corpse when the disciples proclaimed, if they had him, when the disciples proclaimed the resurrection, the Jews would have produced his body to denounce that claim. I mean, they would not have let those disciples say that Jesus has risen from the grave if there was anything that they could do. I mean, but their argument dissolved like an Alka-Seltzer in water because Jesus was gone. The only logical conclusion to the matter is that the tomb was a scene of order. And it was a scene of calm because Jesus had merely passed through the grave clothes. He folded his own napkin and laid it aside. He left a scene of peace so that all who looked in and believed might have peace in their hearts, in their minds, and in their souls. And so God has called all of us in here today to give us a message from the grave clothes. And the message that he gives us first is the message of peace. Look at your neighbor and say, peace be unto you. I don't care what you're going through, but peace be unto you. But not only is there a message of peace, it's a message of power. And he's stooping down, verse 5 says, and he's stooping down, looking in, and saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. The empty cocoon of grave clothes preached a powerful message early that Sunday morning. It told a vivid story of the risen Savior. Those grave clothes lying there in that fashion proclaimed to the world that everything that Jesus said, everything that Jesus claimed, everything that he preached, everything that he promised was true. That's good news, church. That's power. Everything he said was true. Everything he promised was true. It told a vivid story of the risen Savior. Those grave clothes lying there in that fashion proclaimed to the world that everything that Jesus says is true. Everything he preached, everything he promised was true. And that 3 days before, the disciples watched the Lord. 3 days before, they watched him be arrested. They watched him be tried. They watched him be convicted. They watched him be crucified. And now they have tangible proof that Jesus is alive. Now they have tangible proof that Jesus is well. The fact that Jesus gives power, he lives. The fact that he lives gives power to his promises. And so not only in this text do the grave clothes give a message of peace, not only do they give a message of power, but if you look in this text, you will see it's a message of promise. It says in verse 7, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. You've heard the story of the napkin. This is a napkin, and the Bible says it's folded together nice and neat. And those of us who go into restaurants, you know, the waitress even know that when we're done. They know when we're done because the napkin is all knotted and wadded and twatted and twatted. And when you get through with your napkin, you wipe. Nobody takes out time to fold the napkin. But when a waitress come and see your napkin is nice and folded, that means I'm not done. That means I still got work to do. That means I still got some eating to do. That means I'll be back. And so when you saw the folded napkin, Jesus was just letting us know, I'm not done with you. I still got some. I can't die. I can't go down in the grave. And I got to get up because I got some sick folk that I got to heal. I got some weary folk that I got to deliver. I got some lame folk that I've got to make walk again. I got some hungry folk that I got to feed. I've got some folk that are thirsty that I got to give water to. I mean, the napkin is folded because I'm coming back. I got to come back. My work is not done. I just want y'all to know your situation is not over because Jesus is back. I mean, your hurt and your pain, just hang in there. Tell your neighbor just a little while longer. Because Jesus is back. He's not in the grave. He's not dead. Jesus is alive. I got a little ways to go. I don't need to get happy right now. But when I think of the goodness of Jesus, he didn't have to get up. He could have stayed there. And the way the Romans had treated him, I don't know what I would have done. After being beaten and after being smitten and after being ridiculed, I don't know what I would have done. But Jesus got up. He slipped outside of those grave clothes without touching the grave clothes. And he knew people were coming back to look, so he folded the napkin to let folks know, I'm back. I'm not done. I got work to do. I must be about my Father's business. I got to take care of the stuff that the devil thought he had taken care of. I got to let the devil know where the power really is. Because I'm talking to some folk in here when they laid him down and thought all power was gone. He said, don't lift me up. I dare you to lift me up. I mean, yes, they did nail him to the cross. And yes, they did put a crown of 72 thorns and take it and nail it down on his skull and crack his skull open. And yes, they did beat him and gave him one lash less than 40 and whipped him. The preachers told us and that every time they whipped him, flesh came from his body. And they whipped him more and flesh each time would come from his body. And yet, when he had the opportunity to stay there on that cross, he said, don't lift me up. Don't lift me up, because if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And you know why we see some folk here today that we haven't seen in a while? It's because somebody lifted him up. And he says, if you lift me up, if you lift me up, I will draw all men unto me. And so he calls, somebody say amen. Amen. He calls our attention. He calls our attention to the grave clothes because one, it's a peaceful message. Somebody say, let the peace of God abide with you. Let the peace of God. I mean, let the peace. When trouble comes, we've got to just invite the peace of God. Because the grave clothes is a message of peacefulness. Not only peaceful, it's a powerful message. It's a promising message. But if you read on a little further, it's a persuasive message. This text tells us what Peter and John did when they arrived at the tomb. Verse 5, the word, it says, they saw. Saw. Saw means they took a glance. Saw means they looked. They saw the linen clothes. And they saw them lying there, a brief, fleeting glimpse. They saw it. They saw it. They saw it. It's a peaceful message. It's a powerful message. It's a promising message. Grave clothes forced to make a decision. For John, believe was instant. Verse 8, for Peter, the truth came a little more slowly. For Mary Magdalene finds that her heart is still gripped with grief, and yet she's convinced that when she sees the Lord himself, she's convinced that he's risen. Some of us still see him and we're not convinced that he's risen. I mean, look, stuff like waking us up this morning. Somebody laid down and didn't get up. I'm convinced
that he is risen. I mean, joy in my heart, peace in my heart, a little health in my body, strength in my body. I'm convinced that he's risen. Thomas, the perpetual doubter, he was there and yet not convinced. Thomas said, like some of us, except I see. Except I see. Somebody said, well, look at it. He said, that ain't enough. He says, I got to see Jesus. And when I see him, I got to touch him. I got to put my hands in the nail print. Y'all might have dressed up somebody else and called him Jesus. Except I see. His doubts are laid to rest by the personal appearance of the risen Savior. Verse 26, verse 28. Obviously, this is a message that affects people in different ways. There are only really two ways to respond to Jesus not being in that tomb. There's only two ways to accept it. One of two. You either accept it and believe it, or you reject it and not believe it. Somebody said, well, what if all of this stuff is not true? I said, what if it is true? What if it's not true and you don't do it and get to death and get to the pearly gates and discover that it is true? What if you get there and discover that it is true? That he did that. That he did get up the third day morning, and you didn't accept him, and you're standing at the gate and you didn't accept him. But what if you get to the gate and discover that it is true? And I gave my life to him. I lived for him. I loved him. I prayed to him. Yeah, it's better to have him and not need him than to need him and not have him. Have you believed? Let me leave. We all ready to go. Let me leave, but let me ask you. Have you believed on the risen Savior? Have you believed in the risen Savior? No other grave clothes in history can preach such a glorious message like the grave clothes of Jesus. I'm thankful today that Jesus lives. He lives. If you forget everything that I said today, he lives. You ask me how I know that he lives. Can I get a witness when I tell you he lives inside of me? Have you ever experienced the power of God? Have you ever experienced his resurrection? Paul said, like this, that I may know him and I may experience the power of his resurrection. He did die. Can I get a witness? He did die. But early Sunday morning, I'm gonna leave you when I tell you I'm told blue that death and the grave had a conversation. Death told the grave, I got Jesus. I got so many people now, but death told the grave, I finally got Jesus. And death asked the grave, now that we got him, he's talking about getting up on the third day. He said, if you put me down in the grave on the third day, I'll get up. And so death went to the grave and said, grave, can you hold Jesus? The grave said, yes, I know I can hold him. And death asked the grave, how do you know that you can hold Jesus? The grave said, well, I got Abraham, I got Isaac, I got Jacob, I got Moses, I know I can hold him. I got David, I got Solomon, I got Joshua, I know I can hold him. I got Ruth, I got Nehemiah, I got Esther, I know I can hold him. I got Job, I got Isaiah, I got Jeremiah, I got Ezekiel, I got Daniel, I know I can hold him. Are y'all praying with me? I got Hosea, I got Joel, I got Amos, I got a witness here, I got Obadiah, I got Jonah, I got Micah, I know I can hold him, I got Nahum, I got Habakkuk, I got Zephaniah, I got Zechariah, I got Malachi, I know I can hold him. I got Matthew, I got Mark, I got Luke, I got John, I got Paul, I got Silas, I know I can hold him. Friday night, death went to the grave and said, grave, have you still got Jesus? The grave said, yes, I still got Jesus. Nothing to worry about, because I still got him. Saturday night, death went to the grave and said, grave, have you still got Jesus? The grave said, yes, I still got him. Nothing to worry about. Sunday morning, can I get a witness here? Sunday morning, death went to the grave and said, grave, have you still got Jesus? The grave said, wait a minute. The grave said, wait a minute. Something done happened. Something happened. There was a shaking and a quaking. There was a rumbling and a mumbling. I went to my grave, checked on Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, they still there. Checked on Moses, David and Solomon, Joshua, Ruth, Nehemiah, Esther, they still there. Job is there, Isaiah still there, Jeremiah is still there, Ezekiel, Daniel, Jose, Joel, Amos is still there. And the grave said, well, but I checked on Jesus. Can I get a witness here? When I checked on Jesus, the stone had been rolled away. Can I get a witness? I said, can I get a witness? The stone had been rolled away. And then grave said, death at the grave. When did it happen? What time was it? The grave said, all I know is, did you hear what I'm saying? Sunday morning, he got up. That's all I gotta tell you. He got up. All power. All power. I'm glad about it. Is there anybody here glad about it? The old preacher. I said the old preacher used to say, not black power, but all power. Not white power, not Democratic power, not Republican power, not Baptist power, not Kojic power. But you have me said, all power is in his hand. Is in his hand. Is in his hand. Will you tell your neighbor he got all power? Will you tell your neighbor he's got all power? He's got all power. Jesus is alive. Yeah. That's all I got to tell you. That's all I got to tell you. I kept you this long. I kept you this long to tell you he got all power. I kept you this long to tell you he's a good God. I say I kept you this long to tell you he's a way maker. And I just want to ask you this morning, have he ever made a way for you? Have he ever pulled you through? Is there anybody here going? Yeah. I done got happy now. I done got happy now. Because when I think about, has he been good to you? Shake your neighbor's hand. I said, shake your neighbor's hand. Tell your neighbor. Ain't he good? Ain't he good? Ain't he good? Listen, what I'm trying to tell you is, what I'm trying to tell you is, he's a good God. Ain't he good? Ain't he good? Ain't he good? Ain't he good? He's a good God. He's a good God.
All over the building, lift those hands. All over the building, lift those hands. Lift those hands. Lift those hands and tell him thank you. Lift those hands and tell him thank you. Lift those hands and tell him thank you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for raising me. Thank you for pulling me through. Thank you for making a way. Thank you for making a way. We got to leave now. I said we got to leave now. But if y'all don't mind,
put your arms around somebody. I said, put your arms around somebody. Look them in the face. Look them in the face. And help me say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
He is risen. It's over. The message is over, but the deacon said it just started. Which means somebody ought to praise him right there. And somebody ought to praise him right there. And somebody ought to lift those hands right there. And somebody ought to tell God, thank you right there. Lift those hands right there. Because you say, somebody say, right there, right there.
The doors of the church are open. The doors, I know y'all, yeah. I know you want to get to brunch. The doors of the church are open. The doors are open. The doors of the church are open. And just like Jesus says in this text, the grave clothes are powerful, peaceful, persuasive. I'm appealing to you today. God's been good to us. And so listen to me, listen to me. Listen, there's somebody here today on Resurrection Sunday. One, you want to be saved. Jesus is real. Jesus is real. And I believe there's somebody on your row who can say, not only is he real, he's the best thing that ever happened to me. He'll save you right now. And we extend an invitation for you to come and give your life to Jesus on this day. Who am I talking to? Come now, come now. And give your life to Jesus. Because there's somebody on your row who will tell you, Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. He saved me. He kept me when I couldn't keep myself. Jesus kept me. And guess what, my brothers and sisters? He'll save you. And he'll keep you. And he'll make a way for you. And he'll bring joy. And he'll bring peace in the midst of whatever storm that's going on in your life. I extend that invitation for you. Right now, will you come? Will you come? Then, this is the third Sunday in April. Somebody told the Lord, I'm going back to church. I'm going back to my church. I'm going back to the place that I received you. I'm going back to the place where I worked, to the place where I worshiped, to the place where I love the people and I love the Lord and I love the God of the people. You're already saved. You just want to come back. You want to come back. You want to come back. You want to come back. We extend this invitation to you on this Lord's Day to come back. You say, I've been gone for 6 months. Come back today. come back. We extend this invitation for you. Who am I talking to? Who am I talking to? You say, well, I live in Rochester. I just don't have a covering. I just don't have a covering. And I want to be covered. Somebody say, I want to be covered. Somebody say, I want to be covered. I want to be covered. And I don't have a covering. Will you come and allow God and this church to be your spiritual covering? All of us in this room need a covering. The doors of the church are open. And you know what? God loves you and so do we. Enough to pause right here and wait on you to come to Jesus. Will you come now? Wait on you to come back to your church. Wait on you now to get back into fellowship with God. Fellowship with your fellow man. We extend an invitation to you. Will you come? Somebody's putting on my spirit today. I feel somebody putting on. Who am I talking to? You haven't been in church in a while. You're not just here because it's Easter Sunday. You're not just here because you got new clothes. You get new clothes all the time. But God sent you here today. You didn't even know where you were going when you left home, and the Lord sent you here today. Will you come? Will you come? Don't let this day pass you by. Will you come? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.
Well, praise God. We have coming to join with us through Christian Experience, Alexis Martin. Alexis, would you come up? She will be in family care team for Ruth. Irene Ingram, would you come up? Will be our family care team leader for Alexis. We're so blessed to have you coming to join with us. We'll ask you just to take a moment after church and meet with us on the right-hand side.
The church say amen.
Ebola. And Ebola.
Amen again.
Amen. Amen. Come on over here, Ebola. Ebola. Come on.
Amen. She's coming as a candidate for baptism. Amen. Coming as a candidate for baptism. God bless you. Were you here when we baptized today? Amen. We're going to baptize you at our next baptizing. And I'm just happy that you came. It would have been a disaster to preach that he has risen and not one come today. Amen. So amen. God bless you and this lady in this beautiful hat. And then, man, they're going to take care of you for right now. And then we're all going to take care of you. We're going to get to know you. You'll be a part of our family and we're a part of yours. Church, give us a Mount Olivet love. Amen. God bless you.
Do I need to go?
Yes.
Amen. Now, all of you who did not attend Holy Week services, or maybe you did attend and you did not get the CDs are available. DVDs are being made available, and you can get them. Amen. You can get them. Several sets are available today. I think it's $20 for this set. You make your orders today. So there will be persons outside so you can get your orders and get them. This is wonderful. If there's anything that you need in your spiritual library, is all of the messages that we received during the course of this week. God bless you. I love you so much. And will you tell somebody next to you, I love you. I love you. Amen. Love you so much. Let me ask you something. Isn't it good to be loved? Yeah, it's good to be loved. It's good to be loved. I see so many wonderful people here today. And I'm not gonna call names today. I'm just gonna say to all of you wonderful people, beautiful people who are here today, we're just so glad that you're here. Amen. We hope you've enjoyed the choir, the message, the music, the Holy Spirit, the presence of God. We hope you enjoyed that. And we do this every Sunday, and we spend every Sunday trying to do it better. And we desire your presence with us every Sunday. Amen. Amen. Next Friday, our youth, we have a wonderful youth ministry. Next Sunday, immediately after service, we will fellowship here. Don't have to leave. We will fellowship here with Catfish and all of the trimmings. Amen. So just bring a little extra money with you next Sunday above your tithes and offerings so we can fellowship and bless each other with each other's presence. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We got our two babies. I am going to mention these two babies right here. Now I'm having a senior moment, but come here. Right. Where's your sister? Come here. Where's your sister? Tia. Come here. These two live in Philadelphia now.
In where?
In Allentown, Pennsylvania. And I don't think we have any members in the life of Mount Olivet that love this church the way these two young ladies love this church. Amen. They love this church. They love this pastor. They love their members. And give them.
Pastor's my best friend. I love this church.
Wonderful. Give these wonderful young ladies a hand. These are Jonique's grandchildren. Send them. These are Joni's grandchildren, and I don't care what's going on in the city. If they are here, they're going to be at church. They've been here every morning working, and we just appreciate y'all so much. And y'all do good in school here. All right. You got A's and B's. Do well in school. God bless you. I will say, I don't open up this can of worms. Jelani is here. This is Miss Ophelia King's grandson, and that's Sue Buckner's son, amen, from New York, Brooklyn, from Brooklyn, New York, amen. All right, if you got family here, let me see your family. If you got family here, hold your hand up. Who you got? You got out of town family. Blue said his wife is here. All right. God bless everybody. Thank you so much. Wait. Miss Bruce, who is that beside you? Stand up. Ben, who is this? This is Ben's sister and his nephew. Sister's from North Carolina. And the nephew is from North Carolina. God bless y'all. All right. If you want to know how to not like the pastor, this is how you do it. When he forget to call somebody's name. So God bless everybody. All right, this is the last call. I'm gone. Who you got? Last call. Who got a relative from out of town? I'd like to acknowledge him. Lafayette Gers. All right, Lafayette. Lafayette. I want her money to stand one more time. She's done a marvelous job. Send her money. She's done a marvelous job. She works with us greatly. All right. Stand up, young man. This young man called the church, left a message on the recorder. He wanted to come to the church. Brother Minister Paul picked him up, said he's from Syracuse, New York, wanted to come by. Tucker and the folk down there told him to come to Mount Olivet. Amen. Thank you so much. All right, I'm gone now. So, family folk, don't be mad at me. You're going to be mad at your family for not acknowledging you. All right. Somebody said Deanna Dubé is here. Miss Ophelia King's birthday is today. And she's 92 years old. Y'all. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.